Welcome back to the Firestarter Podcast. I'm Ryan Dietrich, and no, Brendan Parker is not here this week. He's actually tied up with a few things on the Flames TV side of our little operation, so we've upgraded the co-host, Flames Assistant General Manager Craig Conroy, in the hot seat today, and we're going to take a little trip down memory lane. But first off, Connie, thank you so much for doing this. How are you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me. It's always good to be here.
Absolutely, and I should clarify, I love Parks. Can't wait to have him back next week. Great in the room, ultimate podcast glue guy, all that stuff. But we press on, and I think this is a pretty good compromise. Let's, we're going to kind of get into some of the stories of your career in just a little bit. But first off, your thoughts on what you've seen from the team so far this year. Just past the quarter mark of the season, tough loss the other night against the Vancouver Canucks, obviously. But, you know, inconsistent seems to be a word that the players and Jeff Ward are using a lot. What have you seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's pretty glaring. Our starts haven't been very good. And obviously the inconsistency from game to game is just, you have a good 10 minutes and then not, you're all over the place. We got to find a way to start games on time and have you're not going to play a perfect 60 minutes every game, but, you know, you want to have maybe a 10 or 15 minute stretch where you're maybe not perfect, not 20 and 30s at a time. That's just not going to win hockey games.
No, absolutely. Well, let's we'll save that. We'll table that discussion because the team's looking to get back on track this weekend with a couple against the Oilers. But first, you know, this is kind of a milestone for you personally this year too. I mean, we just passed your 10-year post-retirement anniversary, which is also happens to be the 10-year anniversary of your time in a front office capacity. From where you started to where you are now, how have you enjoyed the pace and how do you think you've evolved professionally over that time?
You know, I think it's been fun. First of all, to be able to go from retirement right into this side was, my personality, I couldn't have taken time off and not done something. I wanted to kind of get right into it and, to have an opportunity to do that and be a part of it. And then kind of, see everything, every different side of this. You know, there's so much more to it than just, we're going to watch players. We're going to do this, how to make trades. You know, it's the computer systems. It's, even expenses. Like I had no idea how to do expenses when I started. So, I think as a player, you just kind of followed along and set my own schedule, knowing all the big tournaments, where to be, that's what's great about this staff. Most of these guys have been doing it for a long time and they were, more than happy to help and kind of get me going on my way. So, it's fun. There's always, I always say there's times in this job when it's a little bit lonely. Like as a player, you're always together, but when you're out scouting, doing different things, it's not as much fun as being a player for sure. But when we have the draft, free agency, those are all times of the year where it really, it's exciting. Probably I didn't like being a player at trade deadline, being traded at that point. But I think when you're on this side, you're a little safer. And, it's definitely the action, the wheeling and dealing. It's really fun. But I mean, there are a lot of days and weeks where you're grinding it out like everybody else. Yeah.
Tell me how that sort of the conversations went, because you said you didn't want to be the type of guy that would sit around, post-hockey career. You played your last game in December of 2010, but it was only a few months later that you kind of jumped and made the switch in career. That's a very short period of time for things to come together. How did it come together for you?
Well, I think the first thing, those 2 months, I was still with the team. I just didn't play any more games. Yep. So, I was there, I was practicing. And I think it was around the All-Star break, Ken King kind of brought me in and Jay said, hey, we don't see you playing again this year. What do you want to do? Would you be willing to go to the American League? I talked to Jimmy Playfair about going down and playing there, but I think I'm 39 years old at that point. I just said, I'd hate to go. I would love to have gone down and played for Jimmy, but I didn't want to take young guys' spot, on the power play. I wanted the young guys to play because I knew I was going to retire after that year anyways. So, that was part of it. And then fortunately I had some TV offers. My old school at Clarkson, they offered me the coaching position. And, I talked to Ken King, when Murray Edwards was on the phone. And I think you go through all the things and say, hey, we'd like to keep you on board, try to win a Stanley Cup and be a part of something here with Calgary. We think you're a Calgary Flame. So, you kind of weigh all your options. And fortunately I had some options. And then, you know, I decided I love building things, love putting together. I mean, even in summers, we used to work in construction and build barn for the team doctor, you know, so, and we took it from a timber frame where we went to the, you know, woods, chainsawed them down, portable sawmills, and build this into a barn, you know, a few years later. So, you know, I think kind of that's in my blood. I want to be a part of building something and, you know, and then watching it on the ice. So that's kind of the way it worked. And then to have a chance to win a Stanley Cup is amazing.
So I guess the Stanley Cup was more important than the construction business. Like, what happened to that passion that you must have had at that point?
You know what? That's some hard work.
Whew. Yeah, I bet.
That was long days and long nights. I'm like, this hockey stuff's way more fun.
So, I mean, you mentioned you, at that age too, you didn't want to necessarily go down to the American League. And, you know, I'm sure you still had the competitive, you know, fire to want to keep playing. Did you ever consider the possibility of Europe or anything like that? Or was the transition in your mind NHL into something else?
Yeah, you know, I think if I was 33, 34 and felt like, hey, I still got some years, but I mean, I'm going to turn 40 in September. And I thought, I've had a great career. I got to play, live my dream. And, you know, it's time to move on to the next step. That's the way my mind was at that point. I was ready to be done. And it's hard to let it go. Even with that, it's, you know, there's nothing like playing. I mean, there really isn't. I tell the guys, play as long as you can, because it's the best life and best job you can ever have, you know? So that's kind of where I was. But I think at that age, it was time. It wasn't like I looked back a couple years later and said, oh, I wish I kept playing. That really wasn't an option anymore.
Okay. Gotcha. So you're in your new role at that point, special assistant, I believe, to Jay Feaster at the time. What was first on the agenda? What did he give you as your first task out of the gates?
You know, the first thing was just kind of get acclimated with how we do things, scouting, you know, the computer system. We had RinkNet at the time, expenses to work through players. You know, he wanted me to do some face-off stuff with our guys here in Calgary. He said, I want you to go down and be with Ronnie Sutter down in Abbotsford. Let him see what's going on in the development side of it, the game. And then I need you to talk to Todd Button and, you know, we'll get you doing some scouting, some amateur stuff. And, you know, Ken was great. He let me go on some sales calls and see the, you know, a little bit of the marketing side and see how that works. So, you know, I got to do a little bit of everything early on to kind of get a feel of what it's all about, because in reality, I didn't really, you know, you think you know what goes on behind the scenes, but there's so much more to it. And to be able to be a part of all that and work through it, to see the financials of, you know, of your American League team and all the different things that you need, you know, housing letters for American League guys. I had no clue you needed a housing letter, you know, things like that, that now you don't even think about. At the time, you just, you know, you're like, oh, you just go get housing, don't you? No.
Yeah.
A lot of rules. There's a lot more rules than I ever thought.
Yeah, apparently, hey. That is funny. Yeah, you would have no idea when you're playing that all that's going on behind the scenes. That's crazy. But hey, no better way to learn than to do it on the job like that, right?
Totally.
So let's fast forward to now. I mean, it's a unique setup here in Calgary. You've got Brad Tree living, obviously the general manager, but then you have yourself, Brad Pascal, and Chris Snow, all with the assistant titles. How do you guys divide, you know, responsibilities, but also in such a way that utilizes your skill sets in the best way possible?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, right now I probably do more scouting, pro, amateur, / free agents, college free agents, junior free agents. You know, Derek McKinnon's doing more of the European free agents. So, you know, I think that's, you know, I'm around the team probably more than the other guys. I'm with the team all the time, actually, like right now. So I think those are some different parts. Brad's running the American League team. Chris has got the analytics side and really has been building up a website that we call Flames Vision and working on that side with, you know, his staff. And, you know, it's good because we all, in the end, we all share information. We're all on the same team. We're all working together. And, you know, it's, we're not as together as much as we'd like probably, but it definitely, you know, especially with the stuff Chris has been going through, it's amazing to see him day to day in here, just, you know, working as hard as he is and doing as well as he is, you know. And it's exciting for us to have Chris here. And cause we didn't know it when we first was diagnosed, we didn't know what exactly was going to happen, but, you know, he's here every day like everybody else. And, you know, he's upgrading his system and the way we're trying to, you know, build our website, I guess, moving forward.
How did the how has the job changed this year? I mean, obviously, I know everything in the world is different, especially when it comes to scouting and being around the rink. But how have you guys adapted that way?
It's, you know, I think for me personally, it's a lot more video, Well, it's all video. I mean, yeah. If you're watching amateurs, college free agents, guys that, you know, we're trying to come up with our draft list, it's difficult. It really is. I mean, I give the scouts credit. They're identifying the players. So it's easier for me to go in and watch. If I want to watch a certain player, you know, it's a little bit easier, but sometimes the camera work's not great. Sometimes you're like, where is he in the, you know, especially defensemen, are they closing the gaps? Where are they? How are they reading plays? It's definitely more challenging, but, you know, with that said, I think our guys are really, they're putting their list together. They're working hard. They're getting tons of viewings. And, you know, I can't wait till the day we actually get to go watch, be in rinks again and see. It's just so much easier to watch the game and say, okay, the top five players on that team were these guys and on this team were that guys. Cause sometimes you don't know the players as well. So it's hard to see the numbers. So you got to rewind. Who is that? Oh, it's 18, not 16. Okay. You know, there's a little bit more to it. And I find skating's a little bit harder to judge and get a feel for. So,
right.
You know, on that front, it's a lot of games like that, you know, to play just against these same teams over and over again is definitely something that's a challenge, but it's interesting to be a part of too.
So if we go back to 2012, I was actually doing a little bit of player development stuff for a different organization at that time. Have they upgraded to HD video in a lot of the rinks yet, or what's going on?
They're supposed to be HD in every video, you know, especially the American League. And I'm like, this doesn't look like it's all grainy and awful. And, you know, yeah, I love HD for everybody, to be totally honest, but
right.
You know, especially like the Europe, some of the Russians and Czechs and some of them are great, I will admit, but some of them.
Yeah, there's a vast spectrum.
it's hard to see the number.
Yeah. The biggest thing of scouting nowadays is how good is your vision more than anything else. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. Hey, we obviously know that, as you mentioned, Snowy has that analytical background. You know, personally, I'm a hobbyist, but certainly no expert in that field. Are you a stats guy too, or do you prefer the good old fashioned eye test?
Well, it's funny. I mean, I like to mix them both. I really do. I like my eye test first of all, and then I like to see where Snowy's stuff is. He told me yesterday, he says, I think behind him, one of his partners and himself, I look at the stuff the third most, you know, I enjoy it. I enjoy the website. I'm looking, you know, I do think it's another tool that we have to use. And I'm not saying I would use just that or just my eye test, but I think when you can put it all together and then the background work the scouts do with the players, you know, it's really become more and more of a science. You only have 7 picks, you know, whether you're trying to make a trade, you want to make sure you get the right guys in here. And, you know, so for me, I think it's a combination of all of it. And that's what's fun. You know, you're like, 'cause sometimes I see the game, I'm like, this guy was great. I look at the analytics, oof, terrible. You know, you're like, I wonder what's going on here. What, you know, and Snowy will work through it and I'll just keep watching. You know, I'll say, I'll watch another game and he can show me a game that maybe the analytics aren't as high on. And I'll say, I'll watch that game to see what I think he is doing wrong and moving forward. But it's definitely a combination, the way the game's going and, you know, it's fun. I love, Snowy makes fun of me because I love like, fantasy baseball. I used to do fantasy baseball as a player all the time, but the stats, I'm like, we want to build it like this. So he's like, you're taking that from fit. I'm like, a little
bit from fantasy. Well, where else are you going to get it? Yeah, of course.
They do such a great job. You know, I'm like, if we can just steal some of their stuff too. But you know, when we're looking at all that stuff, it's just, it's another tool to highlight guys that maybe you haven't seen, or we're not as high on our draft list, that we should target and look at. And, you know, in the end, if we feel like, hey, he's not a fit for whatever reason, or we do move him up or we keep him in the same spot, I think it's just something every team's doing now. And to not do it, you're not taking advantage of everything you have. And I think that's what we have to do. Every little bit of information we can get and then make our decision.
Well, and now more than ever, that margin, especially in, you're looking at a division where there's seven teams, that's a razor thin, you know, between one team and the next. I mean, do you ever think about just how crazy it is, how it was only a couple of years ago where this stuff wasn't even talked about much, but now it's such an invaluable tool for everybody.
Yeah, when you know, and even when I think about when I was looking at some of the stuff the other day, I was looking for something else and I ran into some reports that Snowy had, and to see where it's kind of come from 4 or 5 years ago to now, you know, the way he set it up, and now he's got video clip, you know, we did at first, we didn't have, if you want to clip goals, chances for, chances against, all the clips, you know, you'd have to go back and do it. Now it's right on the kind of homepage for the player. And it's really, it's come a long ways, but it just simplifies everything for us and puts all, everything in one homepage of each player. And, you know, Snowy's done a great job with that.
Hockey talks and mental health matters. Purchase your 50-50 tickets today to contribute to mental health resources in our community. Buy your tickets and watch the jackpot grow at calgaryflames.com/50-50.
Switching gears here, Connie, this weekend is obviously a big one for the club. Definitely need to get back in the win column, and probably no better opponent than the Edmonton Oilers to help motivate. This rivalry has really leveled up over the past year and a half. We both obviously have a vested interest in how the results go, but purely from an entertainment standpoint, what do you think about the Battle of Alberta these days?
It's back. You know what? It's back. And I think even when I was here, you appreciate it, but I actually thought it was more Vancouver for us, like with Jerome, myself, kind of in those years, because we had the playoff battles and because of, you know, we kind of had their number for a little while, which was nice. But I think a lot of that had to do because Jerome had such a, you know, being his hometown, he'd always have 100 fans there. And he's like, we have to win tonight. You know, I can't let all the Edmonton fans just give it to me. So, you know, I think for whatever reason, we had some good success, but I didn't feel it was where Vancouver was the biggest rivalry. You know, now I feel like it's back to Edmonton, and you really appreciate that Battle of Alberta.
I was going to ask you, was Jerome really that fired up for everyone? Like, we see him on the outside. He's the smiling guy. Every game's the same, but he must have been wired for those ones.
Oh, those were huge. And literally, I'm not kidding, he had 50 to 100 people there every game. He'd walk down to the bus afterwards. I'm like, does anybody else have anybody here or just Jerome? So, you know, he was definitely, he always took his game to another level against Edmonton. I mean, obviously his hometown, and, you know, he grew up idolizing all, you know, all those Oilers. So to see him go in there and how much it meant to him, he would just kind of pull the team into the battle every time.
That's kind of Jerome, you know, to a T, right? Like the harder it gets, the more important they were. That's when his game just got to the next level.
Yeah, he found a way to elevate it all times, whether, you know, and that's the one thing when we're on the bench, some games he wasn't feeling it, but he'd say, watch this. And when he said, watch this, that usually meant he was going to fight somebody. And I would cringe. I'm like,
watch,
please
watch
don't.
That hand. Yeah.
But, you know, once he had his mind made up, you couldn't stop him.
Right, right. Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, you spent, I think it was almost a decade in a Flames jersey. So that's a lot of Battle of Alberta's and some varying degrees of success for both teams over that time. But do you have any specific favorite memories of the battles you played in?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it didn't matter if you went up there for an exhibition game or, you know, that was the one thing about Edmonton. And you just wanted to beat Edmonton no matter what. And if you could crush them, that's even better. You know, but they did. It was always back and forth. And Ryan Smith was a guy that always seemed to score against us. You're like, you know, there was just those guys that you wanted to beat. Horkoff was a great player for him. You know, and as those battles went along, we just, but we never got a playoff series. Yeah. That was my ultimate goal as a Flame, was to play Edmonton in the playoffs. And even the year I was in LA. If they would have won, they would have played him in the second round. I was actually going to come up and watch those games. I was so excited for it. But, you know, I think now that we play them so many times, you know, they have some of the greatest players in the world up there again. And just that rivalry. And I think Matthew, obviously, with Cassian, really took it from the Battle of Alberta back to the real Battle of Alberta. And that's where it is right now. It's a full-on dislike for each other. And I can't wait. I mean, even when I'm on the road, if we're playing Edmonton, I'll talk to scouts and they'll say, Craig, are you going to leave? Oh, I'm leaving a few minutes early because we're playing Edmonton today. And they're saying, we're leaving too. I mean, other teams want to watch it. And that's when you know you have a great rivalry, when other teams and scouts want to watch your team play somebody because they don't know what's going to happen. And it makes it that much more exciting for fans in both cities.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw his tweet, but when did we play them? It was like 2 weeks ago or so, that Cam Talbot tweeting that he was watching that game as well. He had a guy eating a popcorn, a little animation, so he was all fired up for that one too. Hey, correct me if I'm wrong here, but hockeyfights.com says you have 3 career tilts, including one against the Oilers. Do you remember that?
Sam Gagner.
Yes.
I think I helped his career. He took off and started scoring, playing great. I'm like, my career was over. I remember we were standing at the face-off. He said, would you mind just fighting? I was like, what? I'm like, okay, whatever you want to do. I said, I'll help you out here.
That's funny because I was actually at the game that night. This is like 6 months before I started working in the NHL, but I was sitting way too high up, so I couldn't actually see who initiated because, like, from my perspective, it just looked like a friendly conversation.
No, it totally. He just said, listen, I need something here. Would you mind, you know, fighting off the face-off? And he said something to one of the other guys before. So I said, oh yeah, no problem. Happy to do it. And I think from that point on, I would love to see his career stats. Like, he just took off, you know what, put him in the good books. And, you know, it didn't help me much, but it definitely put him in the good books.
Well, I remember you had a giant smile on your face going to the box. It was pretty loud that night. So, I mean, maybe it wasn't quite the Battle of Alberta, but the 80s, but that was a little look back anyway.
Yeah. You know what? You always felt like it was always important to just for pride in Alberta. Like, we right. want to be the best team in Alberta, no matter what. That was always the goal. So, you know, I think that's where it's back. You have 2 very good teams that are making the playoffs, and God, if we could both make it and get to play each other in a playoff series, it'd be pretty special for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, I was asking about initiation between you and Sam Gagner, but like I said, 3 career fights, and you had one other against Jerome before you ended up here in Calgary. So who initiated that one?
Oh, he totally jumped me on that one.
Okay, I needed to put that on the record.
Mark Savard went and kind of speared Pronger from behind. So I went in and kind of hit Savard and went to grab Savard, and he fell down. And as I turned around, Jerome was right there. So I was like, well, that's that. Here we go. Usually I was always fortunate to play with a bunch of tough guys and really didn't have to fight. That's why I never had to fight. You know, we had Tony Twist, Kelly Chase, Rudy Pocheck, you know, Mike Peluso was in St. Louis with me. And even when we came here, we had Oliwa, Simon. We just had, there was just, nobody wanted to fight us because why would you want to fight us? So, you know, when they did, it wasn't, I didn't have to do it. But that night, yeah, Jerome got the better of me again.
So how long? Well, I mean, probably not very long, but you guys buried the hatchet pretty quickly after you put on the jersey here in Calgary.
Yeah, I don't think he liked me really when I first got here. He, you know, everybody, Tyson Nash said, Jerome McGinley, nicest guy in the world. It was the coldest reception from the nicest guy in the world I've ever felt. You know, I felt like it was a little awkward even, you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe he doesn't, I'll let it go. But I will say Donnie Hay got his coach from junior and his coach, obviously in the NHL, he got let go the same day. So there's just a lot, there was a lot going on. And I, you know, I always joke around. I'm like, nicest guy in the world. Yeah.
Sure. Right. Sure.
But I think once we got going, you know, fast friendship for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Just going back to, again, that game against the Oilers, that was October 3rd, 2009, but not just memorable for the fight between you and Sam Gagner, probably more stunning if you're an Oilers fan. You remember how that game finished? Because Nikolai Habibulin came out, misplayed the puck, gave it away. David Moss puts it into the empty net. You guys win 4-3. I'm sure you guys loved going up to Rexall and beating the Oilers, but in that fashion, come on, be honest. Like, how did that feel?
It feels great. I mean, that's the thing. There's no greater feeling than winning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. And that's what I miss most about the NHL is the competitiveness and the kind of that adrenaline and the rush you get. I mean, I still feel I'm excited when we win here, but when you're actually a part of the game and in the battles and in the trenches with the guys and to come away with wins, especially big wins like that. You know, those are the teams you want to beat. Like, I learned very quickly, like, we could lose a lot of games to a lot of different teams, but we couldn't lose to Edmonton. People in the city did not take well to that.
Am I overstating it to say if a game ends in that fashion, especially in their barn, you guys come off, it's like the first game of the season or whatever it was. Does that kind of set the tone for the whole year?
It really helps. I mean, you know what? It just, those big emotional games make a difference. And you know what? You can carry that momentum so much farther. I mean, if you win, you know, I'm not saying, but if you went to Phoenix, the crowd's not the same. The, you know, and that was the thing. Even when you go up to Rexall, I loved getting booed, yelled at. I mean, Jerome took a beating, you know, and he loved it. It's like a badge of honor, probably the same way Matthew feels. He's probably more hated than me and Jerome, but you know, when you're in there and you're, it's such a huge, you know, emotional boost to your team. And that's where I find, even right now and without any fans, it's so weird because, you know, I thought when we scored that first goal, I think it was 50 seconds in when Lindholm scored against Edmonton, our building would have been erupting. And instead, it was like a cheer and then it was over. And, you know, it's that same momentum that you get off of that. That's really what I think you miss right now in the NHL. I mean, not to have the fans is, it's not nearly as fun for me at least to watch. I don't know how it is to play. The guys say once they get in the action, they feel it's, you know, they don't really notice, but for me being sitting in the stands watching, it's not nearly as much fun.
Before I let you go, Connie, you're heavily involved in the prep program here in Calgary. Let's Talk Hockey, an annual event that supports prep and educational and therapy services for children with Down syndrome. It, like everything, taking on a different look this year with an all virtual event instead of in-person programming. But what can you tell us about what's happening and how can people get involved to support such a great cause?
You know what? I mean, we're setting it up right now, Rob Kerr. You know, we're trying to figure out the best way. And obviously, I've been on the road. We're doing it. It's for the 26th of next month. And we're going to do it virtually like everything else. But I know Rob has had some success with, you know, different things. So we're really, I think this year more than anything, with Joey Moss passing away, so many of our kids aspire to do what Joey did. And how he kind of is a real hero to them. And I think that's the one thing about the prep program. They take them from pretty much when they babies all the way until they graduate. And even after, they're still a part of it. And you kind of get to see the kids, how they mature and go and get jobs and move on. And, you know, it's such a special thing. I mean, it just really is. And, you know, I'm still working on, I wish I could tell you the exact guess right now, but we're still working on trying to finalize the guests, and Rob Kerr's all over me about getting some hard, firm yeses. But, you know, I think anytime we can help these kids in the school, this is their biggest fundraiser. And I know it's trying times, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it goes this year. I'm looking forward to it. But if I can get everybody on board, I'm going to get the exact dates. Of course, I don't have it. I think it's the 26th of next month, though. And the prep program, it's just a thing where these kids, if you could go and go to the school and see them and be a part of it, just makes you feel so much better. You know, you're never going to have a bad day when you go and see the kids.
That's awesome. And we're going to put all the information up on CalgaryFlames.com, too. So can't miss it as soon as we get all the details ironed out there. Connie, thank you so much for your time, man. Always appreciate chatting and, you know, stay well. Wish I could see you in person, but hey, this is what we got.
Thanks, Ryan.
And thank you for listening to the Firestarter podcast. We'll catch you next week.